All right, Fiona. Hello, Fiona Edgar. Everybody check out FionaEdgar.com while you're listening. FionaEdgar.com. That's Fiona Edgar's site. This is Craig Simpson from Radiant Creators. You can always check out RadiantCreators.com while you're listening. And this is the Fortnightly Astrology. It is, it's July 24th, 2020. We're going to go over the next 2 weeks. What's going on in the stars? What's going on in the a couple of tarot cards for that period, and also what's going on that we sense in the cosmic weather. I think that kind of sums up what we do. How are you doing, Fiona? Not Edgar.
You need to call me Edgar.
What are you doing, Edgar?
Okay. You're going to put me in a giggle fit. I'm not going to be able to talk, okay?
It makes it better.
Yeah, I'm doing fine. Yeah, I'm doing okay. Actually, you know, we only have a couple more days until we're out of the Mercury shadow period. So that's something to look forward to. Personally, at this point, I don't even really feel it anymore. You know, the energy weakens the farther we get away from Mercury retrograde and the more that it's, set in its direct motion. So we have that. There actually isn't much going on astrologically between now and the 27th. So on the 27th, that's the day that we leave the Mercury shadow period. So whatever your Mercury retrograde issues were, you should see a resolution to those. You should be feeling better. Communication should be easier, and etc. So on the same day, there are actually a number of aspects on the 27th. So Jupiter is in sextile, which is a positive aspect to Neptune. And this is a really good aspect for creativity. Anyone that's an artist, a writer, a creator, any spiritual people around, this is a really good day for meditation. But this this aspect actually gives us a lot of energy to pour into our dreams and manifesting our goals and visions for the future. So that's super cool and something to look forward to. On the same day, there are a couple of other aspects going on. So Venus squares Neptune. Venus is the planet of love and pleasure. Neptune is that kind of weird planet that does all of this kind of weird stuff.
The glory hole planet.
Neptune is like a planet that is connected to spirituality, fantasy, glamour, the spirit world. But its energies are quite difficultly expressed to us on this earth. But the highest vibration of Neptune would be selflessness, taking care of the less fortunate, and having compassion for all living things. So when Venus is in square to Neptune, though, Venus is like the goddess of love and Neptune is kind of confusing things. So you may have, you know, a bit of confusion in terms of your love life or in some other area like your finances or your job. But it is a very short aspect. You'll only really feel it for that day. So another thing to watch out for is Mercury, the planet of communication, is actually in square to Mars, the god of war. And that can cause some arguments. So coupled with the other aspects going on, we want to make sure that we're seeing things clearly before we charge in like a bull in a china shop. Don't go accusing your partner of doing stuff when they haven't done anything. Make sure you keep a cool, clear head because things will be very foggy and blurry on that day. So if you have any important conversations, it's best to leave them for another day. The next aspects don't occur until July 30th. And these both involve Mercury. So Mercury is opposing Jupiter and making a trine to Neptune. So not really a bad day overall. Your creative juices will be flowing if you work on the internet or if you make art. you will be feeling very motivated on that day, but just be careful that you don't bite off more than you can chew. So the next aspect is actually not until August 1st. There are two aspects on this day. The sun is in trine to Chiron. Chiron is the wounded healer. And we can, if we've had any arguments with any men recently, or there's been any conflict, this is a good day for healing that. It's a good day to talk to your father or your father figure or men in general. Mercury is opposite Pluto on the same day, and our conversations can be very revealing. So we can uncover mysteries. Maybe we feel like doing some detective work and research on that day. So the next aspect is on the 2nd of August, and the sun is in square to Uranus. Expect the unexpected. Because the sun and Uranus are both in fixed signs, we may butt heads with others. We'll be feeling super stubborn. We may come into conflict with other people who oppose our ideas. So the next day there's a full moon. This full moon is occurring at 11 degrees of Aquarius. So the sun is in 11 degrees of Leo. This is a very fixed full moon. It also squares Uranus. The main thing about this moon is that it's going to create a lot of unexpected events. And it's best to keep a cool head on the full moon because everyone's emotions are heightened. The energy is really weird. Our pets are acting weird. People are being loony. But we will feel, if we're in conflict with other people, we will feel that we're right and we're not going to back down. Everyone's going to be stubborn. So it is a possibility that we have some conflict around the time of the full moon. So just to watch out for that one because everyone's going to be full of ego on that day. It's Leo, it's Aquarius, it's Taurus. There's going to be a lot of very fixed and rigid ideas. So the next couple of aspects that we have happen on the 4th of August. The Venus conjuncts the North Node. So Venus being the planet of love and pleasure. Conjunct the North Nodes, our relationships, our love lives, those are things that we're supposed to be focusing on. Maybe we had a bit of an argument with our partner, or we haven't been seeing them as much as we would like to lately because we've been focused on work. Well, on the 4th of August, we should be trying to make them a priority. Take them out to dinner. Treat them to something nice, just make space for your relationship. Mars is square Jupiter on the same day. That's not a bad aspect, but when Mars comes into contact with Jupiter, it can blow stuff out of proportion, or you can overreach, overpromise. Maybe you make some promises that you can't keep. So just be careful to stay within your own boundaries. Then on the 5th of August, Mercury enters Leo. So this is when our communication with others really changes. In Cancer, we were emotional, sensitive, very caring. Leo is a very different sign to Cancer. It's a fixed fire sign. So we start to communicate with more authority. We become more opinionated. Maybe we tend to talk over people more because Leo likes to be first and it likes to be heard. But it also gives us the courage to speak out about issues that are important to us. If you have, important conversations to have with another person, you will do so when Mercury is transiting Leo. And lastly, on the 7th of August, we have a really nice transit. Venus is entering Cancer. So Venus being the relationship of love, in Cancer, she is nurturing. She's emotional. She likes to be involved with families, family dinners, children. So when you're in a relationship and Venus is transiting Cancer, you can expect more intimacy with your partner, more care, and just better times in general. So that's it for the next 2 weeks. This first week coming, you know, not much happening, but then just remember about that full moon coming the week after.
Yeah, and then after that full moon, we can, towards the end of the week there, we'll have that beautiful, yeah, Venus in Cancer. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah.
Yeah, and we can all have a nice romantic evening. That sounds very good. Well, I'm really glad that the shadow period for Mercury ends on the 27th, because that's just Monday. Makes me very happy, because usually I'm just sort of, I feel retrograde when it actually goes retro, and then when it finally gets back to direct. I kind of just feel it when it's backwards. But this shadow period has just been a pain in the ass. Like, it could have just been my fate. It could have been, but it just felt very Mercury retrograde-y, because I just had endless, like, financial nonsense where nothing tragic or anything, just endless problems where, like, have you, like, for one thing, you ever have one of those weeks where, like, every big bill imaginable shows up that you kind of just don't really think about because it only happens once a year? And I'm like, oh, darn, car registration. Ah, it's so expensive here in Arizona. It's like every year you get this bill. And then, you know, like the cable bill was, you know, really high because I'd gotten to change the service. They charge you for changing the service. And, of course, they have to auto bill me twice. You know, I'm like, oh, thanks. You know, so just it has been endless. The shadow period. I'm just like, I think I'm getting tired of fixing things. I might just wait until the 28th. Just be like, everything that's messed up is staying broke. I don't care. I'll fix it, you know, when there's better cosmic weather. Oh my goodness.
Yeah. I mean, we've had a tough couple of months astrologically. We've been hammered. We haven't really had a break since like last year.
True.
So I mean, it's just been Venus retrograde, you know, which was terrible. Everyone had a tough time. Then towards the end of that, we had Mercury retrograde. So we're getting a bit of a brief period of rest before we get like loads of other crazy stuff in like September. So make the most of it.
Yeah, I really enjoy that, that romantic weekend when Venus goes into Cancer. That might be the last good times you have for a while. I'm just kidding.
Yeah.
You know, oh goodness. So, did you do some cards for this week or this fortnight?
I did. I've got the cards here. I just pulled them. So, let's see. The first card I have is the Queen of Wands. And the Queen of Wands is a female. She can be a fire sign, so Aries, Leo, or Sagittarius. Or she is a female that has fire elsewhere in her chart, so she could have a rising sign or a moon or something in fire. She's a feisty lady. She is not afraid to go after what she wants. She's full of confidence. She's creative. She may be a cat lover. She has a little cat here on the card with her. So what I get from this card is that some people have lost their confidence recently. So it could be females. It most likely is. But there could be some men listening to this who just feel like, you know, maybe Venus retrograde knocked their confidence. They've been feeling like they're not good enough. This is going to be restored. So if you've been feeling like this, you can expect that you start to feel better, you recover, you know, maybe you've been getting more sunlight, maybe relationship issues have been resolved for you, or, you know, you're just starting to feel better. So that's what that card indicates. The next card is the Two of Coins or the Two of Pentacles. Mm. It usually is a financial card. So, you know, what you just told me, Craig, about all of the bills coming in at once. It's about balancing your finances or balancing different areas in your life. What goes up must come down and vice versa. Staying on top of your bills. I know a lot of people have had it tough because of the COVID-19. You know, your business has been maybe trickled down to very little, or you've been closed. But I do feel that this card, coupled with the Queen of Wands, is a good sign that someone who has been having it hard recently in terms of finances, in terms of maybe their career has, you know, ground to a halt, or they're not making as much progress as they would like, this is going to change. And the last card is the Ten of Wands. The Ten of Wands is all about carrying a great burden, but coming to the end of that. So the thing is that this person, she can't see yet that she has come to the end of that, because she's carrying this burden in her hands. But the light is just at the end of the tunnel for her. Around the corner is abundance. Her home is there, and her business. So within the next few weeks, this person who's been struggling is going to be feeling so much better. So that's going to apply to many people that listen to this podcast, possibly for different reasons.
Yeah, that makes sense. Well, good. I'm glad that we have some good positive cards and outlooks. And yeah, I mean, that I would always say that, you know, since you're doing the reading, it's definitely for the people listening. So, you know, if they so desire it to be, if it resonates with them, you know. So the audience, I notice, is gaining. So we're getting more views, more listens every time we do the show. So, you know, but it's still, it's a small enough amount of people that, you know, feel it to be very personal for you, if that feels right.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Because I think we all could use, yeah, finances have been a pain in the ass.
I mean, yeah.
Not horrible, just like all is well, but oh my goodness, just, and I had this weird feeling of how it just seemed like, well, the world is changing, of course, the new normal, we're all figuring it out, but it was like companies just didn't care anymore. Everything that like kind of went wrong for me, you know, financially, with being double billed and just, you name it, was in general all like systems, the computer systems that the companies had not working very well, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. But it all just kind of seemed like a certain apathy, like the people just didn't care anymore. And it just kind of felt like our financial institutions, a lot of our corporate institutions, you name it, just people are dead. Like, they just don't really care anymore. As we all know, like, Boeing planes are having trouble. Some of them are having trouble, you know, with their, you know, quality. There's been some, it's been in the news. I'm sure people have seen that. And then you just look at it, and it's just all, it's just pervasive through all of society. But I was just seeing it specifically like in business, where people just don't care. It was weird, but I just felt like it was like the whole damn world was crumbling from a technological point of view.
Yeah, I mean, it kind of reflects the mood that a lot of people have been in, you know, kind of losing hope or feeling very bleak about the future. But we just have to understand that this is just a passing phase. We will get through this. You know, there's still a lot of good things in the world, your family. You know, you can look at beautiful artwork, go outside in the countryside, play with your pets. That's still there.
Oh, yeah, there's so much still there. And that, you know, when it comes to cosmic weather, you know, intuition, it does seem like so many people that I've talked to, really everyone I've talked to, has just felt like, you know, 2020 was a bit hard to see. As we came to the 2020 year, everybody knew that there was going to be difficulties, but no one could see specifically what it was. And then, you know, people who have that natural intuition, who are used to being able to feel and see the future, they can kind of feel and see around the corner, at least immediate to their own lives. People everyone kind of reports sort of a veil, like they can't exactly see. And they're just used to being able to some extent. And I don't know, but I felt maybe towards the end of this week, maybe that's been lifting a little bit. I just have felt like the intuitive ability, at least for myself, to kind of feel and see the future a little bit. And it doesn't mean that I have to be right all the time. And it doesn't even mean that I necessarily have to see it. But for those who just have that intuitive nature, that ability, you notice after a while when it hasn't been working, when you just haven't felt, you know, a feeling for what's next or what's coming. It's just this, it's like your sixth sense, your seventh or eighth sense, whatever you want to call it, you know, something's not exactly working. And you just start realizing, you know, it's like if you couldn't feel with your right hand, you know, you might not notice for a day, but then you'd be like, wait a second, I don't feel anything with my right hand, you know? So you just notice there's some ability you have that isn't working. But
yeah,
I think it's turning back on.
Yeah, yeah, I agree. And, you know, I think it's normal that when you get bombarded with stuff in the news and, you know, all of the chaotic energies that we're dealing with on the planet, I think it's normal for your intuition to be a little bit off. And
true.
That's really why astrology and the tarot are such valuable tools that really everyone should learn to use a little bit, you know, especially astrology, because I can tell, you know, looking at my own personal transits. I mean, I check my chart every day to see what's going on. And yes, sometimes I do see, you know, I'm under a major transit, like Saturn's going to be doing something awful to my chart or Uranus. But I know also when it's going to end. So astrology tracks the cycles in life. Everything goes through cycles. You know, we go through a dark period, but then it always picks up again. So astrology is a way that you can track those cycles. So I encourage everyone to learn at least basic astrology.
For sure, and get your and get your chart done by Fiona, because
yeah, that too.
If you don't know your natal chart, you know there's a huge advantage to that, to knowing that, of course. And then you know you can always get your, you know, every 6 months looked at in detail, or the year ahead. You know, I like to kind of do like a yearly chart, just so I kind of know what the big moves in my chart are going to be, because it's definitely, you know, helpful. It's definitely helpful in understanding, you know, because, you know, being human and being, you know, emotional beings and such like that, we sometimes it can kind of explain the way you're feeling or what's happening in life. It just, it really helps. A big one is so you don't feel like you're crazy. Like, I mean, if you're, like for me, Mercury retrograde, I know when there's Mercury retrograde, sometimes I wouldn't even know it happened if I, like, I'll actually just, I mean, I've had Mercury retrogrades go by that I didn't even know. I wasn't paying attention, and I didn't even know it had happened. You know, all was well. But there are times when I've forgotten about it, and I can just get negative, depressed. I can just get, like, the world is shit. You know what I mean? It's just everything sucks. And I'll be like, let me check. This feels like Mercury retrograde. And I'll go and look and go, okay. And then you just know, you know, okay, so for a few weeks, the world might be shit, but I'll get over it. And I know why I'm feeling that way. And I can just sort of ignore it. It's sort of like, you know, don't act on anything you're thinking. For God's sakes, don't say anything you're thinking. If you really feel it's important, just write it down and review it afterwards, you know?
Yeah, and even just tracking something, you know, like the moon.
Yes.
So the moon is, it's quite fast. It moves through the whole zodiac really quickly. It only spends 2.5 days in one sign. And, you know, different moons will affect you in a positive or negative way. I mean, for example, when the moon is in Cancer, I am so frigging moody. I just want to comfort eat. I retain water. You know, I'm just I'm a bit of a mess. But then as soon as the moon enters Leo, I am like a brand new person, because my Venus is in Leo. Mm. So it sets off, you know, it makes me feel Venusian and just good about myself. So it's going to be the same for everyone out there. You know, some days you feel bad, other days you feel good. And if you learn a little bit about astrology, you can, you know, you know when the bad days are coming, but then you also know when the good times are coming.
Oh, for sure. Yeah, I guess that way, and also you can kind of plan your day, your week, your month a little bit on such things because and you can always do what fits. I mean, so maybe one day you're like, yes, I'm gonna go and meditate in the midst of a stone circle and just become at one with the universe and bliss out, woo, because the stars are in support of that. And the next day it's like, nah, I'm just wearing a muumuu and smoking Camels all day. Not even gonna
Yep.
try.
Yeah, exactly. And then you get the bigger transits, so you have like the Saturn transits, which everyone hates,
Oh,
because
yes.
it's all about those tough karmic lessons and growing up and being mature. So you have those, and they can last for a good couple of months. Maybe even close to 6 months or over, because Saturn is slow. And if it hits a couple of planets in your chart, that can be a tough time. But then, if you have a Jupiter transit in your seventh house, your relationship's going really well, or it's, in your 10th house and you suddenly get this big breakthrough in terms of your career, it's really good to know about that, because then you can take advantage of it.
Exactly. That's the great thing about doing a, knowing your natal and then doing like a chart for whatever time period works for people. Because I mean, some people would want to do it quarterly or monthly or yearly. I tend to just do it yearly. But then sometimes, I decide halfway through the year, let's look at the rest of the year more closely. It's going to be unique to every individual. But yeah, for me, at least yearly. Then you can mark it on the calendar and you can just be like, this happens. And it's of great value. Well, as far as cosmic weather for me, I just think that I do believe that at least for myself, it really feels like my natural intuitive ability is turning back on a bit. It's almost like those vacuum tubes are starting to like light up again. Oh, wait a second, I'm starting to get a little bit of this ability that I'm just so used to having. Maybe I didn't even think about or notice as much in the past, but when it was turned off and I couldn't see, I did notice it. I did notice that it was not there. So I know it better, and I feel like maybe our ability to see is turning back on a little bit. So for those who have a tendency to, be intuitive, check, shake your radio a little bit, see if it works again. And other than that, one thing I did pick up on was just everybody asks oftentimes, what can they do? Because we've got all of this globalist bullshit, the latest technocratic desire to enslave humanity, as we all know, is going on right now. There's a pretty good push you may have noticed recently, that they've been doing. And with that, people often ask, what can I do? And I would say, my intuition said, just kind of wait. As in, what you can do, of course, is really live your own life, live the sweetness of life now. This is a multidimensional universe. Live your sweetness now. Create the world you want now, because reality is shattered, so you can create your world now. But also, as far as anything greater, because I know what people mean when they ask, what can I do? They're asking on many levels. And I would say, don't fight the battle before it comes to your door. I think for every individual, and I think more collectively, I know what people mean, what can I do? I want to fight back. I want to fight back. I think ways to do that are coming. I would just say be patient. But most importantly, right now, create your own sweetness of life. Make sure while reality is shattered, you reform it in your local existence, in your local life. Make sure you create it the way you want. And that larger fight, that larger what can I do, it's coming. It'll become clear before too long. I have a feeling, and I'm not an optimistic person, so anybody who knows me, I'm not optimistic. I think the push has been too hard, and I think some of this latest attempt to enslave humanity globally is going to start backfiring, and just not. I think the masses just aren't going to believe it. I know it doesn't matter how many people know or how many people wake up per se. I can't see it, but there's going to be things people can do collectively in the physical existence here that can push this back, that can start bulldozing this back on the globalists. That's my cosmic weather for the fortnight and probably a little bit past, really.
Yeah, I agree with you. I mean, I think the best thing that you can do, and it's funny because I had this conversation with one of my clients today, And she was asking, what can I do? I don't want to just sit here, at home and not do anything to help this battle that we're in. And one of the best things that you can do is be happy, because they don't want you to be happy. They want you to be in fear.
Yes. It's absolutely true. I mean, if it was easy, I mean, we'd all do it. If we could all just crank Heelong and like go and attack the Emperor's castle, I mean, it'd already be done.
Yeah.
it's just not that easy. I wish, I'd be the first one there. I'd be like, let's go.
Yeah. So, yeah, we can't do that at the moment. So, just do whatever the hell makes you happy.
Exactly.
Yeah, well, they want you to be glued to the TV with your mask on. Making your partner wear a biohazard suit when they come home. It's like,
Gosh.
it's just ridiculous.
Oh yeah, and I think it as we were talking about before we started recording the I think it came out of Canada, I think it was the whole like guidelines for safe sex during a COVID, lockdown. And they're like, all this just, I don't even want to get into it. Just all this, basically, to protect yourself, just have weird pervy sex, basically. I mean, it's insane. So yeah, they're reaching in so deep into every facet of people's lives and trying to, manage it fearfully. So yeah, really tend your garden, be happy. Do the sweetness of life, experience life, do those things that interest you every day. That really is how you fight the big picture right now. And then physically, how are you going to fight the bigger battles? I think that path is going to start getting more clear for large groups of people, and we'll see organized pushback soon enough. Just be happy and be in a place where you have the energy, the resilience to fight the fight when it comes.
Yeah, and don't do any of that weird sex stuff that they're trying to get you to do, because I think that they're trying to see how far they can go with this. It's like a test. Oh, ho ho, we've got them all wearing masks. Let's see what we can get them to do now, like how far can we push them before they start saying, huh, something isn't right here.
Exactly. And who knows? I mean, they're gonna start having like you can just be creative and think, oh my gosh, you're gonna like one of the adult stores is gonna start selling like full body condoms or something. Like, I mean, who knows? Just, oh my gosh, it's insane. Exactly. So yeah, it's the thing about, I would say, the globalists, I will call them, is that they're so ruthless, and they're so dumb, and they oftentimes go too far. And I think that like advice on safe sex during COVID, just really kind of, it's they couldn't help but show their desire to just have this weird, perverse world. They just couldn't help it. And I think that's one of the things that sort of blows their cover or makes them so obvious to people like us is you just go, and the people who are listening, I'm sure too, is you're like, are you serious? You're like the government. You're supposed to be doing important things, and you're saying protect yourself from COVID by having perv sex. That's for real. You're not embarrassed by writing this, really. You know what I mean? It's like, oh my gosh, I can't even believe it. I had to shake my head. I had to actually go and look at the source and be like, did they release it? Yep, they really said that.
it actually wasn't The Onion. It was a real news article.
I'm like, this is real? I'm like, oh, I can only imagine a bunch of very like boring, government employees. I mean, I just hope that they didn't mean that. They didn't know what it was, and somebody has like a very eccentric, smart ass kid with a sense of humor, and like t and like told their parent that some of these things were something else. Oh gosh. Well, I think we covered it great. I think people will be well served for the next fortnight, and then we will do this again, you know, and we will help the tribe, you know, and this is part of what we're doing. And everybody, just follow that sweetness of life. What you should do is there for you. It's what makes you happy in this moment. Unless it came from the Canadian government. Just don't do that. All right. Well, is there anything else?
No, I think that's everything. I think we've got it covered. Just watch out for that kind of unexpected full moon. Take it easy. You know, do things that soothe your emotions. But apart from that, I think we're good. The cards look good as well. You know, the end of a struggle, some light at the end of the tunnel for some people out there.
Yeah, and I do. To me, I intuitively, I do feel that. I think people listening, I think this is, I think, you know, one thing is the people who are, I use that term humbly, but awake and aware, you know, the people who are on that spiritual path, who have that inner authority. And if you're listening, then I really think this is a pivotal time. I think this is where it gets better, where we start getting more control, where we start getting happier and things lighten up, because really, you will tend to be days, weeks, hours, a year, 6 months, whatever. You're always going to be guided, and you're always going to be ahead of the blind herd that's just wandering around. You're always going to have that ability, and I think you'll see, you'll gain a little bit more confidence that you're guided in a positive way. So I will check in next fortnight, and I look forward to, you know, seeing in comments things that have gone right for people, where that light switch turned back on, intuition is working, and some good stuff is starting to flow.
Yep.
All right. Take care, everybody. Yep.
Okay. Thanks. Bye.